ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. I am your host, Jim Case, and welcome to the show. Today, we are going to focus on debunking some of the mystery around meditation. This should be a really great show, a lot of good information, kind of dispelling a lot of the myths about how, why, what, making it accessible, making it understandable so that all of us out there can really engage in the process of quieting our mind and getting into that shifted state so that we can shift out of this fear state. So join me on the other side of this short break here, and we're going to begin the show. But before we do, I'm going to start here talking about, as you can see, we're going to talk about my book for just a second, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. This is truly a powerful, powerful book. When you change your relationship with fear, it radically can change your life. So I encourage you, there are tools, there's a lot of great information in this book, really chronicling the understanding and evolution of fear in our experience, how it happens, why it happens, what we can do, and how we shift state, how we enable and change our energy field so that we are no longer driven by fear, but then driven by opportunity. And when we're driven by opportunity, what happens next is that all potential opens up for us. And that's true for everyone on the planet. It's just a question of changing that relationship. Fear is a choice will help you change that relationship. And what I'd like to do is take a minute here at the beginning to do a little reading from the book to give you a sense of where I'm going and what's going on in the process. So work with me here. I'm going to read to you now. We're coming from chapter 8 called The F Word. In order to fully grasp the illusion of fear, it's necessary to explore a concept, idea, belief that has created tremendous amounts of terror in people from all walks of life, across all ages, and in nearly every nook and cranny of our culture. This concept, idea, or belief is labeled as a word to describe something that most prefer to avoid, and even more, strive to never experience. Some people say, it's inevitable, so embrace it, while others claim it is best to reach for it fast, early, and often. Many even declare that it and it alone will drive your success. Strangely enough, though, the very definition of this F word implies not being enough, doing enough, or having enough. You can probably guess what this F word is. Drum roll, please. It's failure. And it is intentionally, in all caps, which you can't see in the writing, but because I want you to take a moment and experience what happens when you read the word failure. In fact, focus on it for 10 seconds and watch what begins to happen in your mind and in your emotions. Notice your energy. Now, observe how your thought process immediately engages the survival instinct. Your heart may begin to beat a little faster, the adrenaline may begin to flow, and a litany of negative thoughts may be triggered, stimulating shame and embarrassment, and even lowering your value as a person, parent, friend, lover, boss, worker, etc. Ultimately, unless you've been conditioned otherwise, your response to the thought of failure will fall into one of three areas, which are, interestingly, all F words as well: fight, flight, or freeze. Remember that this reaction is actually to the illusion of a threat to your survival. It's that powerful. It is a powerful illusion. Think about it for a moment. There is so much negative energy and power given to this concept, idea, and belief that we believe experiencing failure of any kind is an actual and viable threat to our survival. Why? Because we are trained to detest the notion of failure from our earliest years, and as described above, the judgment we carry about it can have a huge impact on us. Simply thinking of oneself as a failure causes a sinking feeling in our psyche. How many people have taken their own lives as a result of believing that they failed? Once again, we have a concept that stirs within us the most primal emotional experience of separation. And it's no surprise. In many religions, this notion is at the core of their doctrine. The very existence of being human carries the weight of existing as a failed being seeking redemption, hoping for God's grace and favor, or desperate to be saved. If we do not accomplish this redemption or favor, we fail and consequently faced the most terrifying, unimaginable pain. How is that natural? The answer is, it's not. I would love for you to experience this book. I would love for you to partake of it. Please go to my website, www.adventuresintruth.com. You'll see a whole spread for the page there. You can also go through IndieBound or through Barnes & Noble or through Amazon if you have a preference. And I greatly appreciate your time and effort. The other thing I would ask, if you wouldn't mind, I would love if you would share this one time on your timeline. Share with your friends. Let them know about this book and help me to spread the word. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you here. And right after the break, we're going to come back. I'm going to share a commercial with you. We're going to come back and begin diving into the process of meditation. Thanks, everybody. Hello, 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 and we are back. Welcome to Busting the Meditation Myth. This is going to be a good conversation. It's going to be a fairly lighthearted conversation, but it's going to be a serious conversation because in my experience and over the course of my life experience, I found it to be a challenging process to get past all of the ideas and thoughts about what meditation is and how it works and thinking, never really thinking myself enough to be a meditator. You had to be a particular type of person, or you had to have a particular inclination, or you had to have a particular spirituality or a depth to your experience that would enable meditation to be effective for you. And what I'm here to tell you today is that's just bunk. Bottom line, it's just bunk. There, meditation is accessible and is available always for everyone. And the cool thing about it is that meditation ultimately is a very personal experience. So how it unfolds in your experience is relevant, important, and necessary to understand so that as you create the foundation of your daily practice, you're using the tools that enhance your energy. Because sometimes the tools that might enhance someone else's energy may have no impact on yours. And remember, we're all coming from such different backgrounds with different experiences and different belief systems and all of that we have to approach this from. You can look at specific things in a large arc, but then when you take it into your experience, as you take it into your meditation, it becomes more personal because now you're into your own personal space in a very particular way. So we're going to start this process with a conversation about the definition of meditation, and then we're going to look at what you need to know to lay the foundation for this. But before we do that, like we do with every show, I want to take a moment to focus. And I want to take a moment before I focus to come over here and see if I can mellow out this trying to understand why my green screen is twinkling so, but it is there. Maybe that helps some. Cool. All right. So taking a moment to focus. For those of you who have listened before, who have listened to the show before, you know that I'm in development of a wonderful new wellness paradigm. It's called the Pyramid of Wellness. And at the base of the Pyramid of Wellness is what I believe to be the foundation of our experience. That is the thing that animates us, the thing that brings life and energy to us, and that is the breath. Without breath, we aren't. And in this new Pyramid of Wellness paradigm, my thought process has been about layering this pyramid with the things that we do the most, and then building and building it from there. So breath is first, mind is second. When you have management of the mind, when you have management of the breath, then you actually are beginning to enroll the mind into the process of inspiration, into the process of being aligned with that larger, higher part of yourself. So we're using this time to focus the breath, to bring our awareness to it, and to shift state so that we can all be fully focused and present in this moment. And then hopefully you take that to the next moment, into your next moment, into your next moment. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin with focus, and then we're going to go into breath. In the breathing, we're going to go for an inhale of 4, filling all the way up. And then as you reach the top, I'm going to ask you to relax for just a moment in that full space, and then release from the mouth, driving out all of that air, all of that energy, to a count of 6. So 4 up, hold for 1 or 2, then we're going to come down for 6. And the reason we're doing that is because that count will help to purge the deepest part of the lungs, will help to purge the air, the old stale air and energy out of the system, and getting you prepared as you reach the bottom, as you reach empty, to again, relax and rest for just a second there. Let yourself feel that emptiness and then engage the breath and fill up again. The power in this process is multi-level because as you, especially if you focus on those tops and the bottoms, when you get to the bottom of the breath and it's gone, there's a part of you that wants to panic. And what I can tell you is that if you can relax into that emptiness, you will be surprised at recognizing you manage that process. Because when you re-engage the breath then in a conscious way, you're pulling all of this fresh energy in. So let yourself begin to be aware of these things. And what I want to ask you to do now is go ahead and if you can, close your eyes or just let your gaze unfocus. And I want you to bring your awareness, all of your awareness right now into your body. Just bring it into your body, anywhere you want. Just bring you and your awareness completely inside your body. And allow yourself now to scan. Just observe, scanning, feeling your way through your own body. How does your body feel? Are you laying down? Are you sitting? Are you walking? Be aware of what you're doing, but more importantly, be aware of the impact that's having inside you. What does it feel like? Feel your way into your body. And with each breath that you feel in your way into, you'll find that you start to settle in. You may be aware that you're carrying some tension. Maybe you've got some tension up between your shoulder blades. Maybe you've got some tension in your lower back. Maybe you've got an injury or you've got something, you know, making your knee hurt a little bit. Just let yourself be aware of it. Breathe to it. Let the breath be directed. If you're sitting there and you feel a twinge, just focus as you're breathing. Focus your awareness and breath into that space and just breathe that fresh energy into it just easily. Good. And now bring your awareness completely to your breath. Notice the flow of your breath. Notice the rhythm of your breath. How do you breathe? Is it a shallow breath? Do you find yourself catching your breath? Do you feel like you breathe in 360 degrees, or do you feel like you just breathe up the front or breathe up the back? What does it feel like? What does your breath feel like? And now that we're fully immersed into this internal world, we're now going to focus on your breath. So again, bringing all that awareness right into the center of the chest, right into the heart space. Just bring your focus here as you bring your breath. We're going to inhale to a count of four. Inhaling, two, three, four. And remember at the top, we're going to hold and relax. And now we're going to release out of the mouth. One, two, three, four, five, push it out, six, good, resting in the emptiness, relax, engage the breath and inhale, one, two, three, four, feeling full and resting, and purging, letting that air release out of the mouth, two, three, four, five, six, pushing it all the way out, being in that emptiness. Feel that. And now choose to engage the breath as you inhale, lifting and filling all the way, 360 degrees. Feel that air full all the way up to four, and you're holding, resting, and then releasing. Release all that old energy and air, let it go. Three, four, five, six, and this will be the last time together, resting at the bottom, focusing, opening, inhaling, taking all that air, two, three, four, fill that richness, relax at the top, and now releasing, two, three, four, five, six, and release at the bottom. Feel in the void, feel the emptiness, and then let your breath continue. Continue that rhythm as best you can, continuing to fill, taking it to the top as you rest, filling and releasing, letting it come down. And as you continue in that breathing pattern, focusing in that rhythm, I want you to take in these words, just to feel them. Just let them roam around in your consciousness. See how they feel. What is the experience in combination with the breath? Continuing the rhythm of the breath as you do. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. And continue to breathe through that, feeling it deeply and powerfully, breathing through. And ever so gently, just allow your awareness now to re-engage, expanding to include what's outside as well as what's inside. Bring yourself present to this moment as we talk about and dive into this process of meditation. Bring yourself fully present, ready to engage. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time to learn a little bit more about how to manage your breath and how to step into a shifted state. So let's talk about that shifted state, because that's really what meditation is all about. Meditation is all about laying a foundation for you to shift state, to raise your vibration, to raise your energy. And so many times it's like, yeah, well, what does that matter? And what difference does that make? And what is that going to get me? If you consider that everything is energy and you consider that everything is frequency, and this has been proven scientifically, when you come into that reality and understanding, what you know is that when you're dealing with heavy emotions, when you're dealing with fear, when you're dealing with anger, when you're dealing with depression, you're at a vibration that's very low, it's very dense, it's very kind of, yeah, low frequency. So when we go into meditation, the whole point is to spin the vibration so that you go from those lower states, those lower energies, to a higher frequency, which makes you accessible to joy, makes you accessible to opportunity, makes you accessible to potential. Do you understand what I'm saying here? When you focus on meditation, when you focus in changing your vibration, you are taking a giant step forward in understanding you and who you truly are, and taking a step away from the things that hold you back from who you truly are. So let's start where we always start with these processes, and that is definition. I always love to have a definition. So I looked up meditation, and it says a practice where an individual uses a technique to train attention and awareness and achieve a mentally clear and emotionally calm and stable state. To me, the most important word in that sentence is state. What you are attempting to do with the use of meditation, what you are doing as you do meditation, is that you are consciously shifting state. This is critical, especially with everything that we're experiencing right now, with all the crazy lunacy going on in the world right now. There are so many ways that you can be pulled, so many directions you can be pulled into, so many different ways that you can be afraid, so many different ways that you could be depressed, so many different ways you could be disenchanted, so many different ways that you could feel all kinds of negative emotion. And what I'm encouraging you to do here in this understanding of this definition is that you build this practice slowly and easily. It's like anything. You're not going to become a doctor in a day. You know, how many years of schooling do you have to get through to become a doctor? Well, consider you're changing your vibration. You're changing the core of stuff that you've lumped into your experience for as many years as you've been alive. So for however long you were unconscious, however long you've been potentially unconscious, that all of that time you were still being entrained and inundated and filled with all kinds of nonsense that doesn't serve you. And what meditation is going to do for you is it's going to help clear that stuff. It's going to help open this gateway to a higher vibrational frequency that means you don't have to play in the mud anymore unless you choose to. So instead of being playing in the mud because you feel like you were thrown there, if you choose to go there, it's a conscious decision. And what's true is that once you shift that state and you begin to interact in that state of love much more greatly in meditation, you lose interest in the mud in that fashion. It becomes an object in the field of your awareness, something that you can look at and go, wow, I've invested a lot of energy in that mud. Is there anything that I can utilize or change or transform in that process that will help even enhance my experience more? And in most cases, the answer is no. Most cases, it's let that be. Let it transcend. Let it be transcendent to your experience. It's what's bringing you to now. And you can thank it and you can love it and you can send it on its way so that you can blast off through this process of learning how to get in touch with this. So, now that we have a good definition, let's look at some of the foundational aspects in my experience of what it is to meditate, what it is to be a meditator, what it is to dive into meditation. So as we said in the definition, it's simply a practice where an individual uses a technique to train attention and awareness, and then you to achieve mental clarity and emotional calm and stable. So training attention and awareness. Do you understand that is so wonderfully simple? It's just wonderfully simple. It isn't a complicated process that requires you to have some special skill. It doesn't require anything other than awareness. And as long as you are willing to find awareness, you will create a wonderful meditative experience. And so these foundational elements, the first one being, you have to be willing to see your own mind. Why is that important? Well, because it's yours, first off. But beyond that, I went through a little challenge with this when I was putting these up because I wanted to say, You have to be willing to see the mind. But I was afraid that if I went there, it would skip a step, because we want you to get to the mind, because it is the mind, meaning it is a receiver. It's a receiver. All kinds of thoughts are going through and by around all the time. Most of them are not yours. Most of them are just part of the thoughts, that just the energy that's just moving all the time, all the way around us. So being willing to see your mind is about being willing to go, as we did at the beginning of the meditation, it's being willing to go inside self and then just observe what's going on in there. What is the noise that I pay attention to so much? And being willing, the word there, willing, just willing to see your own mind. See it happen. See it work. See it do its thing. It is the first step to objectifying it. Because once you really sit in a space of quiet and you observe it, you're going to scratch your head going, why have I ever listened to this? Because while it speaks in a voice that sounds familiar, it's speaking just nonsense. And it's speaking about things that it doesn't know about. It only has reference points out of your subconscious. So all it's feeding you is all of you. It's feeding you your own nonsense. It's feeding you your own fuel. It's feeding you your own belief systems. It's feeding you the stuff that you have stored there. And again, that's not a judgmental thing. We all do. We're all humans. It happens to all of us. All of us go through a process of living this world and being inundated with stuff. And then we come to places like this 2020 insanity, where it's coming at us from so many different directions, that the most important thing you can do is recognize it's not you. It's a function of the mind, right? So you have to be willing to see your own mind. That's the first part. So again, you don't have to, and bear in mind, you're not going to come into this place of this mind and go, oh, I'm such a horrible, ugly, awful person. How could I ever? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You're not the fear that, you know, I think I talked about this before. I think it was Marianne Williamson talked about our greatest fear is not that we are powerless. And Marianne, I apologize if I bastardized this. I'm trying to get the essence. But I'm giving you the credit. But the idea being that we are not afraid of not being enough. We're afraid we're too powerful. We're afraid of the power that exists within us and through us, because we do experience it, even if we won't acknowledge it. It happens all the time where we get encounters with our true self. And I believe that there is that aspect. I worked with people for years and worked with clients for years. That was the biggest hurdle, was getting past the belief that it was about being a bad, ugly person. And really that the fear is that I'm that powerful, that I am that incredible, and that I've not given myself permission to be that. That sets up a weird dynamic. But again, that's all judgment and unnecessary. So let's take it to the next step. So have to be willing to see your own mind in action. Again, you can't fix it. You can't change it. You can't adjust it. You can't transform it if you don't have reality about it. So anywhere that you attempt to avoid, or anywhere that you attempt to escape, or anywhere you attempt to not attend to, you are putting resistance in your own process, and you are not increasing your vibration. You are putting resistance in your process. So, all right, moving on to the next one. So we're willing to see our own mind. The next one, you have to be willing to sit with your own mind. Oh, that's an interesting one. I can tell you firsthand experience. When I first started to attempt to meditate, my mind was so loud and so crazy and so stupid all the time, that attempting to sit just in and of itself was a tremendous feat for me. And I can guarantee you, for many, that will be the case. When you go to get into that quiet space and you go to sit with yourself, those first weeks are challenging. Don't kid yourself. You're learning something new. You're training new muscles. You're training new thought processes. You're training new awareness. You're training your focus. You're focusing your breath. all of that is intense, and it's no less impactful and no less significant or I'm losing a word here, but no less significant than becoming a doctor. It requires that kind of focus. So just like if you were going to go to college for the first time, and you got to figure out your courses, and you got to figure out your teachers, and you got to figure out what the hell they're talking about in these textbooks, and I got to memorize 400,000 parts of the body, it's all the same in that regard, right? Be willing to sit with your own mind. So in the beginning, it's going to be noisy. You may get lucky. You may start to sit and want to focus, and you have a natural knack to find your quiet zone. I'm not telling you this to make you feel bad. I'm telling you this because it's important to understand, like everything we do in the world, it requires focus and attention and effort. So when you go into those initially, again, and I'm going to suggest to you that you only create maybe 15 minutes to start. Don't try to sit and meditate for an hour or whatever the case. Sit 10, 15 minutes is all you need to start the process. And that's all you need to do until you feel inspired to go further. Because if you try to push it, you're going to spend all the time in frustration and resistance. And that, I don't want you to go there. I want you to be willing to sit with your own mind and experience it, but I don't want you to fight with it. That's not meditation. You're not trying to control it. You're not trying to beat it into submission. You are not definitely trying to kill it. You're being aware of it so that you can recognize that you and it are not the same. You and it are not the same. So that next step, you got to be willing to sit with your own mind. What will happen over time, and as you continue to focus, is that you'll see it as an object in the field of your awareness, and you'll be able to not attend to it unless you choose to. And you can even sit in a wonderfully quiet and peaceful place, and you can have the mind over here yabbering away, and you can still be completely aligned in a quiet place, recognizing that is not this, and that is something that is just simply in the field of the awareness, and it's okay. And then over more time, that begins to diminish because you don't put any energy on it. It doesn't mean the thoughts aren't still flying all over the place. And if you give yourself permission to look at it, once you've built your strength up in it and you say, okay, I want to see it for what it is, it will rock your world because it's like, it's hard to believe that all of that information could be going on at the same time. But just like your computer, it's not any different. There's so much information flying around this computer and flying through this computer and the Wi-Fi and the network and the internet, and your mind is the exact same thing. It's just your mind has been put in a box in front of you to look at. Now you're going to do this consciously. Now you're going to do it consciously because in doing so, as you build that muscle and that strength and that alignment with your highest part of who you are, recognizing the God that's in you and recognizing that you are not that, you create an expansion and a growth within you that will take you years to integrate, and not slowly. I mean, it's that big a change. It's that enormous of a shift in your potential and your experience. So be willing to sit with your own mind. And then the next foundational piece, you have to be willing to manage your own mind. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's sort of what we've been talking about all along. You're not trying to control anything. And management of just simply is understanding that it is something in your awareness. It is a thing in your world. It is not your world. So when you begin to understand that it is not your world, you can then manage it like you do everything else. You know, I can tell you from my personal experience, we just did a show, Conversation with Moshe on Wednesday. And I had a profound experience going into it because Moshe wanted to talk about having it all. And it seriously triggered me. It triggered all kinds of stuff in me. And we had a wonderful conversation and got to experience in real time, the transition from the mind doing its thing and me being kind of connected and caught up in it to this arc of experience of talking and unraveling to coming to the other point of finding that love space and recognizing that all the noise that I was hearing, I just simply had to make a choice. Focus on the noise, focus on the quiet. Where do I want to be? What do I want to experience? So it isn't that you're actually manipulating the mind. It's that you are manipulating your focus so that it is not attentive to the noise. And in doing so, you begin to manage, because when you stop paying attention to the noise and your vibration begins to move up and your energy begins to rise as that cork begins to pearl to the surface, you now are able to see the mind objectively. And that's when you begin to understand how the mind is managed, because when your soul is running the show, when the biggest part of you is running this show, then the mind becomes a supportive element of that experience. Excuse me. You all follow me with this? I hope. Got me talking a lot, right? All right. So you got to be willing to manage your own mind. And now we're going to move into the last piece. Or is there two more? Nope, I have two more. You have to be willing to be easy with yourself. This is foundational to me. And it took a long time to get it. And I still struggle with it. When you come from my background, and I was just a ridiculously arrogant young person. I thought I was all that in a bag of chips plus the dip. And I was going to let you know that that was the case. And so that sets up that whole arrogant game is a whole setup for how judgmental I was feeling and how judgmental I was about me and everything else. So it took me a long time to understand the importance of ease with myself. Because I thought for a long time I had to whip myself into shape, because obviously I had failed, or obviously I had not done right so far. So I had to whip myself into shape. And the way that you do that is you crack the whip and you make it happen. And again, you know, the amazing lesson in that is seeing all of the resistance that serves nothing. It accomplishes nothing. So being easy with yourself is a way of coming to unconditionalness, which is a huge part of this expansion of energy. This is a huge part of when I shift state, when I'm fully aligned with all that I am, I can be easy with myself. Because being easy with myself is recognizing that I'm doing the best I can from where I am with what I have right now. The challenge with being an adult, the challenge with being a human with rational thought, is that we start to think that we have to look back all the time to understand things and to make sense of things. And that's not the case. We have to be present and now, be easy with what was before, and choose to transform it, because we're shifting focus to something else. So being willing to be easy with yourself in the process of meditation is recognizing that you're going through a process. Even though it feels like you're not getting anywhere, you're actually making quantum steps every single time you do it. Every time you commit to taking that 10 or 15 minutes to get quiet, you are altering everything about your being. And it may not feel that way for a while, because you're used to focusing on the mind. You're used to focusing on the negative. You're used to focusing on the stuff that doesn't elevate you. So initially, as you're doing this, the noise and the craziness, you're just observing, you're being a part of. If you can get 10 seconds of those 15 minutes in a connected place, you have created a crack in the door. You have created the space for that energy to come in and open it up. And all you got to do is continue to show up. And that's how you do it, being easy with yourself. Do you understand? Being easy means doing the things that you know support the change you're looking for. And then being unconditional with yourself through the process of developing through it. Okay? So have to be willing to be easy with yourself. And then last, but certainly not least, you have to be willing to know that you are not your mind. Now, that's not a decision. And understand, this is an important thing to understand here. You're not going to come to a point in the meditation and go, oh, look, I've decided I'm not my mind. It is a process of discovery that as you get quiet, as you learn how to settle your body, as you learn how to feel that peace in your body, as you find stillness, as you find quietness, you begin to see that virtually everything you experience is nothing more than something in the field of your awareness that may or may not require your attention. Let me say that again. You begin to know and begin to know in a visceral way that you are not all of this outside of you. It is simply a reflection. And you, in your meditative state, in that state of connection, recognize that everything you experience outside is just stuff in the field of your awareness that may or may not require your attention. So you just have to want to know that you are not your mind. And notice in all of these, as we look back, you have to be willing. 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 You have to want. You see a pattern there? Do you see the pattern growing? I didn't say do this, do that. You just have to find the willingness. Because in the willingness, you find surrender. The willingness says, this belief that I'm holding on to, I have a willingness to see a little differently, and you relax. And when you relax, energy flows in and begins to expand it and begins to open it up for your awareness so that you can see it in the panorama of the screen of the world in front of you, that it is not you, but stuff that's in the field of your awareness. Is that the coolest thing ever? I think it is. I think it's freaking amazing. Because it takes all the pressure off. I just need to show up and be good to myself and let myself, being good to myself is connecting to that all that I am. How could I be better to myself than that, right? It's extraordinary. And on that, we're going to take a quick break. I will be right back after the break. We're going to talk a little bit more and we're going to dive into some of the realities of meditation. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to send them to me in the comment section. If you're on Got Joy, the Science of Transformation Facebook page or Adventures in Truth Facebook page. And I'll be checking the comments later, so please feel free. But we're going to be right back, guys. Hashtag fear is a choice. Pick up your copy. It's coming out at the end of September. Pre-orders are open now. All right. Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to this wonderful conversation about meditation and kind of debunking the myths of meditation. So I hope that in going through that first section, what you walk away from is that this is accessible to you. This is a process that just requires a very short period of time in your day. And what you'll find is that you'll begin to crave it. Once you tap in and you begin to really tap into that quietness and that settledness, you'll begin to crave it as you move through your day. And the cool thing is you can do it anywhere, anytime. You can use the breath and you can use your focusing ability to change your state at any moment in time. I share this story because, a quick one, because it exemplifies it to me so clearly, but you can do this anywhere. And I've done this outside of a courthouse going in for a traffic ticket, changed my state completely and changed the outcome completely. because I removed all resistance from myself. I removed me from resistance. I let go of the resistance and connected to a much greater space that allowed change to take place that in my fear place would not happen. Do you understand again? Fear-based reality, limited potential, limited outcomes, limited access, opportunity-based experience, potentiality out the wazoo, all potential, because you are no longer in resistance. Do you understand? Fear is a resistant place. Being in a resistant place isn't going to get you anywhere you want to go. So think about this as you're, so the structure, let's talk about structure for a meditation process. So picking the time, I tend to do two a day. I like to do two a day, sometimes more, it just depends on the day. And when I say more, again, it depends. If I'm doing the show, I always go into a meditation, I do a breathing and I do a few minutes of meditation before every show. I always leave 20 minutes before the show in order to do that because I know how important it is to be connected and not be distracted by anything else going on in the world right now. I want to be right here with you talking about this stuff in a very clear, very aligned place, because if I can demonstrate that for you, you can take that into your world and you can use those tools to make your process successful. So depending on where and when, you have to assess that based on your life experience. I know, I hear, I've talked to people, friends who, you know, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. And I will say to you, as I say to them, if you have no time for you, you are not giving you to the people and the situations in your life. You're giving some version or variation thereof, but you are not giving all of you to creating the life that you want for your children, for your spouse, for your partner, for your friends, for whatever. It's not happening because it's all diluted. It's not diluted. It's not focused. It's not clear. So finding the time, the 15 minutes, wherever it is that you can do that. Some people do it in a car because that's where they get away from everything for long enough that they can pull off in a parking lot and do their thing for a little bit. Some, you know, when I say a couple times a day, I like morning and evening. I find the evening time to be spectacular because things are a little more settled. So you can find more peace and more quiet at that time. But again, it's different for everybody. I like it. It doesn't energize me in the way that I go, that I can't sleep. It does energize me, but it takes all the tension out of my day. So when I go to sleep, I'm rested. I'm ready for that. So it prepares me for that wonderful time that I'm going to spend integrating and rejuvenating in my sleep process, rather than spending the time fighting with myself, processing crap that happened throughout the day, letting my mind run the show about everything it wants to tell me, about everything it wants me to know, because I was so preoccupied in my day and all my stuff that I didn't give myself permission or time to be with what was going on in my world. So the mind is just going to terrorize you through the night in order to feedback all the things it thinks you need to know. So if you're doing some form of daily practice in the evening, again, only 10 or 15 minutes, if you can focus the breath, really focus, work with the breath, work with getting centered and focused, work with finding quiet. You'll find it's going to change the quality of your sleep, and sleep will become what it's meant to be, which is about integration and rejuvenation, instead of avoidance and getting to the next day. So give yourself that time. Figure out what works for you. Again, I would say start where you can get the time initially. And then once you begin building that muscle, then pick another time, because you'll have the strength to pick another time. Do you understand what I mean by that? Once you feel the benefits of what you're able to do and accomplish, once you get over those initial hurdles of the mind noise and the distractions, once you do that, you will find you crave it more. And then you can find ways, and that will help support you in finding ways to add another spot in the day if you need to. So when you go into this process, again, I want you to start with a focus of breath. Do the counted breathing. It's the best possible thing you can do. And just find a place to focus. I tend to focus like right here. I don't know if you can see that. I tend to focus like right here in my eye, in my closed eyes. I bring my awareness to this point here. And I focus as I breathe. And I just relax my body completely. I'm not focused in the mind. I'm focused in space. I'm focused in the breath. And so focusing in the breath, being in that space, just let it unfold. If you find yourself, and this is going to happen, you're going to be aware that you're watching the mind. And the next thing you know, you're fully immersed in the mind. Because it's that clever, because it's you've trained it that well. So realize it's not something working against you. It's how you've trained it to work for you. And now you have to retrain it. So that retraining is in part, you're sitting in that process, you're getting quiet, and suddenly, you know, you're observing the mind. And maybe at the beginning, the mind is all right here. It's still kind of on you. And as you get that energy built, the mind will, you'll be able to push it further and further away from being on top of you, because you're recognizing that it is not you. So there you are, you're breathing, you're focusing, you feel that beginning to separate, and then your mind comes up with something and you're down a rabbit hole. And you're sitting there attempting to be quiet and you realize that you're thinking about schoolwork for the next day. It's fine. Don't fight yourself. Remember we said that one of the key things is be easy. The greatest thing you can do in that process in meditation is just simply bring your awareness back to this point and this breath. That's all. You don't have to do anything else. You become aware that you've been immersed. You bring your awareness out of that immersion back to your point of focus and continue to breathe. Continue to breathe. Continue to focus. And again, it may happen and may go off on this direction. Same thing. Just bring that awareness back to where you want to focus and stay in the focus. Don't judge it. Don't yell at yourself. Don't get pissy. Don't go, this is so frustrating. And of course, you may have a couple of those moments. It's okay. But what I'm encouraging you to recognize is that you are not failing in the process in doing that. That's the process. You're in it. You're doing it. That's the joy and the magic of it. You're doing it right there. You're in meditation. Why do I say that? Because you are learning how to manage your own energy. Every little bit you can do just builds on itself and builds on itself and builds on itself. That's freaking incredible, guys. That's amazing. And again, you did it. You did it. You did it by simply choosing to focus. Imagine if you chose that a little bit more, how much more you could do. But as you train that behavior, as you train that experience, and you're in that meditation, your mind derails and you go, wow, come on back, pew, and you pull yourself out of the mind. Hear that? Out of, you're not pulling the mind back into line. You're pulling your awareness out of your mind. Out of your mind. Because it is a thing outside of you. It is not you. Can't say that enough. So there you are. You've got quiet. You've set your space. Maybe you have music. I love, and I would suggest nonverbal music, no words, if you want to focus in music. A lot of times there's suggestions to focus on ambient noise. Like if you're in a space that has an air conditioner, focus on that. Or maybe you hear your air, you can hear your refrigerator. That works as well if you can maintain that focus. I like to have a little bit of music and megahertz that just give me a space to play in. It can take me lots of places if I let it, but it creates an environment that I can just be at peace and quiet. And there are times that I don't even know the music is on because I'm so in my quiet space and in my zone that it too is simply another thing in the field of my awareness. So for that 10 or 15 minutes that you're working on it, remember, focus on the breath, managing the breath, use your breath. Have a specific plan with your breath. do the process that we did at the beginning of the show, or look up another potential that you might like. But also recognize that your meditative process, this is just the beginning. This is just getting to the quietness piece. This is getting to the let's slow it all down. Let's recognize that this is the I am, this is everything else. And let yourself learn through that process. What will happen over time is that you'll start to build in different things that you find will satisfy your energy, will help you to elevate the experience of quiet. And you may find, like I have, and this has taken a long time for me, but I found that I can incorporate different meditative techniques into my experience so that not only am I in touch with my energy, but now I'm actively choosing to consciously use my energy to interact with the energies of the planet and the world at large. That comes over time. And I suggest not starting there because, again, this has to be aligned for that to be effective. So you could be doing a really lovely mental exercise of how you're healing the planet when really all you're doing is a mental exercise to avoid getting quiet, to avoid being in a space of stillness. So again, watch the mind. Be clear in your intention. I'm coming to this to find quiet and to find my peace and to find my connection. Anything else is just noise. So I hope this has helped. I know this has been a lot of information, but there's a couple other things here, realities that I had written down. Meditation is actually easy. The effects of it are profound. But the process is simple, and maybe simple is a better word than easy, because there is process involved, but it's simple. It's just breath. It's just awareness. It's just focus. Okay. It starts working the first time. You have to be willing to get quiet, and that changes everything. Remember what we were talking about here. You have this, and you surrender a little and you let that energy open up a little bit, and then the energy can get in and expand it and begin to dissipate whatever is not working for you. Consistency gets the best results. Do it every single day. Your mind is going to tell you things like, it still tells me, yeah, you don't need it tonight. You're good. You did X, Y, Z. Don't worry about it. Oh, you had X encounter and that was really very spiritual, so don't worry about it. None of that is meditation. Okay. None of that is taking the time to build the foundation for you. It is a practice that is foundational to your growth and evolution. You can't do it wrong. You may be less effective at it if you're not choosing to focus in that fashion, but you can't get it wrong. Just the fact that you're willing to sit and get quiet in whatever capacity is enormous. That is a statement to the universe that I am willing, I am here, I am engaged, I am open. The stronger you become at it, the more you'll crave it. I think I said that before. And there is nothing more quiet, more powerful than quieting your mind and calming your energy. There is nothing. Love, maybe. But that's what you get when you get there. So it's all quite remarkable. So I want to thank you for being here. I want to ask you to share this and tell your friends and neighbors and let people know about our show. Share, subscribe, talk about us, talk about the book. I'm encouraging you, get those pre-orders in. Book's coming out at the end of September. I appreciate you guys so much. I thank you for those who have already ordered. I thank you for those who are regular watchers and listeners. I appreciate you greatly. And love your feedback and love your interaction and hope to have that again soon. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for being a part of Adventures in Truth. And thanks for sharing my journey with me. And I hope you have an incredible night. Thanks, everybody. Have a great and wonderful day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, You can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.